if it's something you got to do, you got to do it. And we were able to get through it. And we thought 2023 was going to be the crazy year of change. But as we look out at 2024, it looks like it's another year coming.
Welcome to the Insurance Refocus podcast, where we're highlighting real agent stories and how they are innovating to respond to the changes and challenges happening in the independent insurance industry. My name's Lindsay, and I can't wait to introduce you to my amazing co-host who just so happens to be my mom, Carrie Wallace. Mom, how you doing today?
I'm having a great day, Lindsay. How's your day going? You make me tired just thinking about it. I would love to say that I did the same, but I started my day with about 4 hours of work before the rest of the world woke up. So there's the difference between you and me, I guess, right? But I'm super excited today. We get to have a really cool guest. We get to have Jimmy Honacek from YMI Insurance in Pennsylvania join us today. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm a big fan of the podcast, so I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. I love it. I love it. Well, Jimmy, I think you and I met maybe about a year and a half ago. Is that about right?
Yeah. I mean, I think my dad came on to you first and, you know, you were at a seminar that he was at and learned about you. And he's like, I think this is something we should consider. I met with you after that. And yeah, there was no doubt in my mind that this was the way to go.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. So for people that don't know you, which, you know, there could be some out there that don't know who you are, tell me how did insurance find you? Because that's always a super interesting pathway. It's never a straight line, typically.
So for me, I was born into it. My grandfather was an insurance agent. My uncles are insurance agents. My dad married into it and has been an insurance agent for, you know, 30 years. And I tried to get as far away from it as I could. So I graduated college. I moved out to LA. I did TV production, and that was, you know, where I was going to go. And then one thing led to another, and I was working on America's Got Talent and Let's Make a Deal. And I woke up one day and I was like, I'm going to get my MBA. And my wife was like, do you know what those letters stand for? And I said, no, but grown-ups get MBAs, so I'm going to do that. And then I like to joke, like Columbia made a mistake on their admissions and they let me in. And I fell in love with investing there and looking at businesses and thinking about businesses. And I'm looking at my dad's business. And I'm like, this is fantastic. This is an incredible business. Let's do this father-son dream team. And he said, absolutely not. You show up to work with band t-shirts and long hair, like go get a real job. And so that's what I did. I did equity research for 5 years. I went to Wilmington Trust. It's a large wealth firm, and was, you know, meeting with, you know, S&P 500 companies and their management teams and evaluating their businesses. And one day I'm back home for Thanksgiving. And like I said, my whole family's insurance agents, and they're talking about what they do in the community. And at the time I was on the board of the Delaware Symphony, and I loved that community involvement. And I hear them all talking, and it kind of speaks to my heart. And I remember, oh, right, I wanted to do this. You know, I wanted to get in the business with dad. And so I reached out and he was like, you know, I got to retire at some point. And so that's a very long-winded way of saying that's how I got in insurance.
My goodness. So hang on a minute. You were working on the set of America's Got Talent and Let's Make a Deal and decided insurance instead of that. Like, I mean, let's just give that a little bit of credit where credit's due. Like, that's crazy, right?
It was. And I will say I'm probably the only person who, you know, was debating getting an MBA from Columbia. And my dad like tried to talk me out of it. He's like, that's not the path that you're on. Like, why would you do that? But it was, you know, I don't know what made me want to do that. But I think the idea of I've always been interested in learning and learning as much as I can. And so bettering myself is probably a theme throughout my career. And that just felt like sort of the right next step. And then when I got there, I saw, you know, the financials and the economics of an insurance agency. And I said, that's pretty attractive, actually.
So when you were working on the set of America's Got Talent and all those cool things out in LA, is that how your like love for your podcast started? Is that what that was born out of? You needed that outlet?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I always, I need to be creative, and I do like, you know, the production and video and that sort of thing. And so when I came into the agency, I'm a big believer in playing off of people's strengths. Like, not everyone on your team has the same strengths. And so maybe they shouldn't have the same tasks. You should be, you know, magnifying what they're good at and reducing what they might be weaker at. And so I came in here and I saw what a podcast could do for the business and the agency. And I knew that, you know, I had skills in this and I had a background in this. And so it kind of made a lot of sense as something that I should dive into.
So tell us what your podcast is all about. Like, what do you feature on your podcast and how did you figure out how to make that a key component of how to grow the business? I would love to hear your thought process behind that.
Yeah, there were a couple different paths we could go down when I was thinking about starting a podcast. It could be insurance focused, but my concern there was that the audience would be pretty limited. And truly what I wanted to do, a big philosophy again for me, is being local, hyper-local really, and focusing on where I am and not trying to grow past that, but trying to deepen my penetration in that hyper-local space. And so at that point, I realized, you know, an insurance podcast would turn off any potential audience that I wanted. So I was like, let's not do that. And so the idea was, let's focus on businesses in the area and let's develop those relationships and let's give them a platform to talk about themselves and their business. And so that was the idea. And it's been great. I mean, it's a lot of fun. Like, I love doing it. I love the people that I get to meet. And we get to tell their stories. And I'm stealing as much information from them as I can, because they all have incredible stories of how they got to where they are. And so it's been great. And I've loved doing it.
How long have you been doing the podcast for?
We just hit a year. So we celebrated our year. It every other week. I thought that cadence was pretty good starting, and I'm glad. Like, anything more would be too much. So we've done a full year. We've got 26 episodes and season two just started, and we're really excited for what we've got coming.
Yeah. For anybody who can't see the screen who's listening, I just nodded my head about right off of my body, because we do every week, and it's a lot. It's a lot to commit to. So we just hit a year as well, beginning of last month. And so every week we record and put out an episode. It's a fun time, but it's a lot of work for sure.
Yeah. I think finding that cadence that works for you and, you know, your workflow is important, because it's great. I love doing it, and it absolutely has benefits to the business. You know, it also takes away from the business. And so I've got to be able to manage my time. And I've been happy with the every other week cadence.
Yeah. Is it just you in the agency who interviews people, or does other staff jump in as well?
Yeah. I mean, right now it's been just me. We just brought on a marketing person part-time. She's been great. And I don't know if I'll bring her in, but back to, you know, the cadence and the workflow, just as you know, the back end of a podcast is a lot of work too. And so having someone who could take that, so that I'm not finding the right clips, you know, going through the minutiae, and having someone to take that off my plate has been really helpful too.
So Jimmy, let's talk about you. You did some studying, you got your MBA, you actually went and really did some deep dive, and then you came in the agency. Was there anything that you knew right away, wow, we probably need to work in this area or that area? Or was it a period of time before you started doing that kind of analysis? Because anytime there's fresh eyes, we know that that's an incredible opportunity, right?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'm thinking back to the early days, and a couple of thoughts come into my brain. Like, my dad put together an incredible business. So it's a father-son agency. And I'm very fortunate to have come into this agency. So, you know, areas where you would think an older generation might have been lacking, technology or social media, they were there already. So when I came in, first off, I was impressed sort of with where they were. But secondly, I'm sort of like a sponge. So I'm going to take my time to really understand how everything works before making snap judgments. Like, yes, this process seems antiquated, but maybe there's a reason they do it that way. And as I got in there, yeah, then I start understanding the workflow and the processes. And that's when I can start, you know, giving informed decisions on how we should be doing things. I'm trying to think if there are any areas that stood out in particular. We really have, I think, taken the personal lines team and made it much more of, we've really formalized the process there. I think when I came in, everyone was sort of an island doing their own thing. And with my dad's help and with our personal lines manager, Tony Barr, we've been able to put in the processes so that, you know, the call comes in, we know exactly how it's going to go and how it's going to flow through our different workflows.
One of the best things that I've ever heard is for anyone who comes into an agency as a new owner, as a new partner, as anything, is to pay attention first before you just try to innovate. Because it's a complicated process. It seems like it might be a simple thing, but it's a complicated process. So you're very, very smart to have come in and been able to pause and say, maybe there's a reason and maybe we need to take a measured approach in this. I was talking to one of my very good friends who was taking over for his dad. And it's one of the best things he ever did, because it's also difficult as the new person to come in with a whole bunch of ideas and gain the trust of a team that's been in place and intact and to be able to just start changing things. You know, I mean, I understand your dad's still there. You guys are working side by side, all of that. But it's really difficult for someone to come in and do that. You really have to do the work and actually understand the process before you can start changing a whole bunch of stuff.
And that was something that we took seriously. I had no background in insurance. So I came in under a personal lines manager, doing service work right off the bat. Like if I'm going to manage that group, I need to understand that group and what they do and how they operate. And I made it a point to take every single person out to lunch to start to develop a relationship with them so that, yes, I'm earning their trust, but I'm understanding how they tick and what makes them excited and how I can motivate them as team members. And so I agree 100%. You got to understand what you're working with before you start working on it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well, one of the biggest changes an agency can make is changing the systems in which they use. So talk to me about, you know, how that went in your agency. I'm cheating a little bit because I know some things that you guys have done inside your agency, but it's a big, big, big decision. So talk to me about, number one, how you went through and decided that was the thing you needed to invest your time and energy on, because that's a massive cultural change inside the agency. What did that look like inside YMI?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask us this one. it was. So I will say my dad and I went to the IAOA conference in 2021 down in Tampa, and they have all the vendors there, and we walked through and we met with Hawksoft, and hearing the capabilities that they had and the integrations that they had really kind of spoke to us and resonated with us. And so that seed was planted there, I would say. And then, you know, fast forward 2 years and we've brought on agency Zoom and we have all these systems, but they can't talk. Like our hub, which is our agency management system, can't talk to any of them. And so it became clear that if we really wanted to go to the next level with our systems, we needed something that could be the center point for that. And so that's when we decided to pull the trigger. And I will say it was an incredibly painful process. It was not a ton of fun. And we knew that going in. So the agents have been using this agency management system for 15 years, probably even longer. And, you know, they had all the processes. When I came in, we did a procedure manual, and we spent months putting that procedure manual together. And then we had to throw it out the door because, you know, we changed our agency management system. But I told everyone, this is like learning a new language, right? We knew English, but now we have to speak Spanish, and it's going to be a word at a time. And then eventually we're going to slowly start to get the cadence where we understand and we can speak it. And it was true. I mean, I'll say the first couple of weeks, there were moments where everyone was like, I don't know if this is going to work, but it does. You push through and you start to figure out how it works. And the agents got on board and they could find, you know, there's ways that we can use this to actually save us time. And so once we kind of pushed through, we got there. And it's been worthwhile. I mean, now we're getting to the point where we're getting the systems talking, and it is going to take us to the next level. So it's painful, but I'm someone who only views things through like a long-term lens. And so I'm willing to put up with short-term pain if I know at the end of it, it's going to be, you know, a long-term success. And so that's good and bad, but it's sort of the lens through which we went through that.
Jimmy, as I think about people who have done AMS transitions and actually multiple AMS transitions, it is all about trusting the person. Like, okay, you can see the long-term view, but all I know is you just disrupted everything I do during my day. Could you imagine doing that right now in the middle of a hard market where we're trying to remarket absolutely every piece of business? Or I don't know what it is in your agency, but that's what people are thinking. I mean, luckily you were able to get ahead of this and make that happen. I just can't imagine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's never a good time, but you kind of, if it's something you got to do, you got to do it. And we were able to get through it. And we thought 2023 was going to be the crazy year of change. But as we look out at 2024, it looks like it's another year coming.
Amen.
But that's, I think that's the nature of business, right? Like, you're never set. And if you are, then you're probably going to start losing market share, and you're going to start losing in general. So that mindset where, you know, you're always changing, I think, is a good one.
Yeah, for sure. So talk about other changes that happen. I mean, there's a lot of agencies that are thinking about acquisition during this time. There's a lot of opportunity for acquisition. You know, the average independent insurance agency owner is 54 years old. Lots of people are thinking because of the staffing, because of the technology changes, because of all kinds of changes in our industry, that now might be the time to buy an agency. Have you guys gone down that road and learned anything in that process?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that really attracted me to the industry, was the idea of acquisitions, and knowing that the timing, as you put out, from a generational perspective, is kind of the right timing to get in. And so it's something that has been on our radar and we've actively been pursuing. We just opened a third location, basically in part because we were eyeing up an acquisition in that area. And so we got ready to do the acquisition, but we had to do the due diligence, and we got very close. I mean, we signed, you know, all the sort of non-disclosures, and we were ready to go down. But as we got in and were doing our due diligence, it became pretty clear that that was not the road we wanted to go. And so it was really hard when you get your mindset on something, and you've, you know, invested capital and time into it, to walk away from it. But sometimes that's the best decision you can make. And so we still have our eyes open, right? We're still looking. It wasn't a wasted effort. There's a quote I love, which is, experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. And so we got experience there, and we know better for next time sort of what to look for. And yeah, it's something that's always on our radar.
You've got to be, I mean, so there are so many agencies that see the opportunity for acquisition. There's no two ways around that. But making the decision not to move forward is one of the hardest and sometimes one of the best decisions you can possibly make, but it's difficult. People fall in love with the idea of doing that, whether or not it's a fit. So being disciplined enough to actually find the one that makes the right sense for your agency is not the easiest thing in the world to do. So hats off to you for doing that. So give me a little bit of details about that. Like, how long were you in the process? And, you know, obviously I don't want specifics about agencies, but for someone who's thinking about this and they're like, man, I might have a little bit of yellow flags that are coming up. Like, how did you discern and ultimately make the decision that this is not, you and your father, that this is not the right thing for you?
Yeah. And I'm going to give props to my dad on that one, because he had a saying, you know, from the start, which was don't love the deal. Like, don't fall in love with the deal. Just because we're going down the road doesn't mean we have to be completely set on it. And that turned out to be true. And so, I mean, when I'm thinking about acquisitions, you know, a lot of the potential sellers that we're talking about, right, they probably have paper files. They haven't transitioned to an agency management system. And that's something that we are aware of and we're cognizant of, and we're not necessarily afraid of, right? I mean, we can hire someone to scan those, to put them into an AMS. So that's not a concern, but making sure that those paper files are accurate and up to date is a huge concern. And so that's something to be aware of, and as you're going through the acquisition process. And so being ready for a cultural shock and making sure that you have the plan in place to sort through it and get through it is paramount, I think, when you're going through an acquisition.
No doubt about it. And, you know, it's not just a paper agency. So we just talked about the fact that you've moved forward with your technology. And if you acquire an agency that has no technology experience, there's a cultural gap between the staff that might join your team. You know, it could be a super big challenge. That's obviously not the only thing. You have to have carrier match. You've got to have, you know, what kind of business do they write? Who's their ideal client? All those things that are not information on a paper. It's more about a cultural fit. You know, those are the things that I think oftentimes get missed or overlooked or undervalued or really don't place enough information on that kind of thing, and then get to a point where they're like, man, this was not the best fit because it's a distraction from what we're trying to do. So it's a difficult thing, but I'm glad to hear that you guys were able to look at it that way. Not a lot of people can say that they've done that. So yeah. huge props to you guys.
Absolutely. And I think as I'm hearing you talk, my dad and I, our strengths are opposites. And I say it all the time, like we are as polar opposite on the business as you can be, but it's a great thing somehow. Like we complement each other in a way that I think we're better together than we are apart. And the acquisition, like, I know he will be the one in the minutiae and the detail, but the culture is where I'm going to come in. And I think it is important for us to have, you know, those strengths and those weaknesses, and to be able to see them in each other and to be able to work together to come to a better place. And so I think in that acquisition sense, like, we would have come to different results if we were on our own. But I think together we were able to make that decision. I remember us looking at each other and being like, we should walk away, right? And we both knew it and we were able to do that.
What advice do you think that you would give someone who's just starting the acquisition process, or maybe even just joining the industry, like a family agency, and they haven't worked in the industry before?
Yeah, I'll take those separate. So I'll start with the second one first. If you're coming into the industry, so this is my third career, so I'm pretty adept at, you know, switching and learning a new industry. Like I said before, be a sponge. I mean, learn as much as you can. Be open, listen, don't think you know it all. You know, there was an ego check, I think, when I'm traveling across the country meeting with Fortune 500 companies. Then I moved to the Lehigh Valley and I'm working in a small family agency. It could have been easy to come in and been like, I know everything, but that's not really my personality. And I think it goes a long way to listen again to the staff and to be open and to understand what they have. Like, they know more than me, right? They're better at this than I am. So it'd be foolish for me to try to come in and act like I know everything. So be a sponge, and be open to learning. I mean, learn about the industry. There's so much in terms of resources out there that you'd be foolish not to take advantage of them, whether they're, you know, industry associations, whether it is continued education. Like, I know I came in and got my license, but that wasn't enough. So I wanted to get my CIC as soon as I could. And so I went through that process because that was important to me. I wanted to, like I said, I want to always be improving. And so learn as much as you can, and you'll be in a better position because of it. And then the other question I've already forgot was looking at an acquisition, I think.
Yes. My okay, one good, question good. That was very broadly.
I think...
asked.
And I'm like a goldfish. My memory lasts for, you know, 40 seconds. Anything after that. we're in trouble. So in terms of an acquisition, I mean, there's a couple of things. I think one is be proactive. People want acquisitions, but they're not necessarily willing to put in the work. Call on agencies, stop in on agencies. In the same way that you might prospect a commercial client, you should be prospecting agencies. If that's something that, you know, is part of your strategy, you absolutely should be developing those relationships and calling on them and getting to know them so that when they are open, just like when someone's open to shopping, you're the first person they think of. So absolutely do that. And then again, I would say be a sponge, like learn as much about that agency as you can, whether it is the systems that they're using. I mean, that's going to be crucial to the acquisition, whether it is meeting the staff, learning about the staff, understanding and listening to them. That's going to be important. Looking at the financials, obviously, but looking at things like loss ratio, you know, contingency bonuses, these are all important parts of the whole that you need to consider. So always be thinking and learning. And I mean, I'll give you guys a plug here. Like, you should be working with someone through all of this. I know a decent amount. I've got a good background, but in terms of insurance agency acquisitions, I'm going to go to the professionals here. I'm going to go to people who have been through it tens, hundreds, thousands of times, so that things that I'm missing, they can bring to the table. So those would be my suggestions.
No doubt. So let me ask you a question. You know, I think it's hard. There's people that say it's really difficult to attract young people to this industry. So one of the reasons I was super excited about having you on here is because you had this cool career. In fact, you had two really incredible careers before you joined insurance. What would you say to the people who think like this is not an industry? It's not a sexy industry. It's not an interesting industry. Like, what opportunities did you see after being in all those different things? What would you say to someone who actually still thinks that way?
I mean, I would tell them that it's our fault, first off. Like, I get on a soapbox on this. I don't think we as an agency or as an industry do enough to make ourselves seem sexy. Like, we're content with the image that is out there. We're not at the career days. You know, we're not out there trying to recruit young talent. And that hurts us. And it's going to be painful over, you know, the course of the next 20 years as people start retiring and there's not a crop of young people excited to get into the industry. So first off, I would say shame on us. But then secondly, it's a great career. It's awesome. Like you said, I traded in two pretty cool careers to come here. And there's a couple different things that make it that way. I mean, I think if you like taking care of people and working with people, it's incredible. Whether it's, you know, on the service side or on the sales side, what you're doing is developing relationships, and deep relationships where you are protecting people's families and their businesses. So you need to understand sort of who they are. So if you like meeting people and talking to people and developing those relationships, I mean, it's an incredibly rewarding career. And then financially, it's an awesome career. I mean, you can make a lot of money, whether it is on the sales side, whether it's as an owner, whether it's on the servicing side. I mean, you truly can do very well. And the residual income obviously is awesome. That's sort of what, you know, I fell in love with, was looking and seeing retention rates that are 94%. You're going to have clients for a long, long time. And so you have to work a little harder in the beginning to start building up that book. But when you do, you're going to be in a good spot to live a good life. All the insurance agents I know, right, who have, you know, been in at it a while, look at their personal lives. They're doing okay. I mean,
yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
They're traveling, you know, they're at their kids' games, they're coaching. Whatever you want to do, like, you can do it with insurance. And so I think the industry needs to do a better job of promoting themselves and making it an attractive place to work. I think it absolutely is. I guess it's a secret, right? It's a secret that we're keeping for some reason, but we need to let the world know it's a great place to work.
Amen to that. Like, you actually said it, you can actually build an incredible career That residual income is something, but you can also have balance. I'm not saying it's not hard work to build an agency to, you know, certainly from scratch. It's very, very, it's a lot of work, but it also affords us the ability to be present in our families' lives, which is pretty cool. So, all right. So I have one last question for you, my friend. You said you are a lifelong learner. What are you doing today to continue to learn? Like what are you currently reading? Like what's going on with you?
That's a great question. And you picked the right time. After a couple years of kind of falling off of reading, I'm finally back. And I think I'm going to give you a non-conventional answer, which probably shouldn't surprise you at this point, that most of my answers aren't going to be super conventional. But I'm a big literature guy. And so I've been reading, you know, just read As I Lay Dying by Faulkner. And I loved it. And what I loved about it is it's challenging. In a world where I want to Google everything, right? Faulkner challenged me not to do that. And so I'm reading it and I'm like, I don't know who this character is, you know? I want to figure it out. But I told myself, no, for whatever reason, like, don't do that. Just keep reading. And he gives you answers as you go through. It's like really hard to get through. But if you challenge yourself and you read it, you get the answers as you go along. And so it really, I think, pushed me to use my brain again. I haven't been doing that. And so I'm a big fan, you know, I'm a liberal arts major. And so I'm a big fan of, I think, literature, especially in the business world, challenges your brain in a different way than most people are used to. And I'm a big fan of, you know, diversity of thought and having a culture where you are challenging yourself. So that's how I am learning right now. In 2024, I am reading more and I'm really happy to be doing it.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you, Jimmy, for joining us. I love that this industry brings so many different people together. You don't have to think the same way in order to be successful in this industry. In fact, if you think outside the box, you're probably going to be so much more well-positioned. So if somebody wants to reach out and learn more from you or talk to you or network with you, how can they find you, Jimmy?
I mean, it shouldn't be too hard to find me. I'm all over the place. But if they want to shoot me an email, that's probably where I respond the best. And it's Jimmy, J-I-M-I, at YMIagency.com. Connect with me on LinkededIn, anywhere you want. I'm there and I will respond. Awesome. Except for Twitter. I can't handle Twitter. It's too much for me. I don't know.
I don't like Twitter either. I really don't. Like, I'm on there, but don't think I'm going to respond to you because, yeah, I can't do it. Just can't do it. Anyway, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I really enjoyed this. This was great.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Insurance Refocus podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to hit subscribe and leave us a review so you'll never miss us. Want to learn more about how Agency Focus can help you grow your agency? Head to agency-focus.com or email Carrie directly at carrie@agency-focus.com. If you need to get in touch with me, feel free to shoot me an email at lindsay@agency-focus.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week.